Welcome to Success Unlimited with America's success thought leaders, Tim and Tom Simmons. This podcast is dedicated to exploring the journeys of thought leaders, business leaders, authors, speakers, podcasters, and various individuals' journeys to success and the challenges they had to overcome along the way. We are very thankful that you decided to listen in to our podcast. Like and subscribe to Success Unlimited's podcast and socials to receive updates when new episodes are released. Do you have an idea of who you'd like to hear? Let us know by commenting on our socials or by emailing info@mymentorhq.co. Now, we hope you enjoy this episode of Success Unlimited.
Welcome to Success Unlimited. I'm your co-host, Tom Simmons. Another co-host with us is Tim Simmons, but really excited to have with us Karen Hall. She is the Empathy Advantage keynote speaker and an emotional intelligence expert. She trained under the one only Mariana Williamson as a spiritual life coach. She brings over 4 decades of experience applying and teaching principles on how to practice empathy, manage emotions, and regulate one's nervous system in order to build relationships, not only in family life, but also in business. As a host of the Hero Within podcast, she delves into the inspiring true stories of unsung heroes who use emotional intelligence skills in overcoming life's challenges. The Hero Within podcast is ranked in the top 3%, get this, globally, and she is very excited about her forthcoming book release. Her journey in studying and educating how to manage emotions is not just professional, but also deeply personal. And with us today, she's going to share her story, how she overcame challenges, how she defined success. Karen, thank you so much for being with us. I want to open the floor to you so you can kind of give us a background of your story. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Thomas. And thank you, Tim. It's just great to be on Success Unlimited. And what a great topic, because there's so many different kinds of success in life. And we all have opportunities for success, and it's unlimited. And that's just the wonderful thing about our life. And we have so many choices that we can make. My life started with challenges. I was born 2.5 months premature, and I weighed 1 pound, 13 ounces shortly after birth. And so I started with overcoming at the very beginning. And it was the kind of thing where they told my mom and dad that I was going to die and that I wasn't going to, you know, make it. And then they said, well, if she does, she'll be a vegetable. And here I am. And only by the grace of God, you know, he helped me defy the odds of death and perform the miracle that I lived. And I've seen his hand in my life over and over and over again. In fact, that is why I have been able to overcome everything in my life. So I started out being a little bit shy. And that was another thing that I had to overcome, was learning to, and now you would never know it because I love talking, but I used to be terrified to talk in front of people, and a microphone, get it, no way. I'll be in the back. Don't, you know, let somebody else, you know, be out there leading. And so I had to learn to overcome a lot of these natural tendencies to be a little bit more withdrawn.
It's amazing. It's almost like faith over fear, right?
Yes.
Taking a weakness of shyness and fear of public speaking and turn it into a strength, which is very rare for people to do. So kudos to you.
Well, thank you. I was going to tell you, I remember when I was so scared. And I remember when I was in high school, I was just so scared. I would turn bright red. You know, my voice would shake. I would just, you know, I'd just be ready to die of embarrassment. Just hear my voice. And then when I heard it shaking, it was just, it made me even more embarrassed. And my mom said, you should take an acting class and join drama. And I'm like, are you kidding? That's the last thing I want to do is be on the stage. And she said, no, I really think you should. So, okay, I did. And I decided I didn't really like acting and drama, but I did get on the stage and I did get a little bit more courage. And then when I went to college, she said, I really think you should take public speaking. And I'm like, you've you've got to be kidding. She's like, no, you really need to do that. So I did. And that's when I found out, actually, I kind of like this. So that was kind of a fun little side note there.
It's a good mother. So.
Yeah, she was she always would encourage me to work on my weaknesses, and it was one of the things that I have learned later in life is that when I have a desire in my heart, or even if I'm feeling a little bit like if I want something that I don't have, like for example, when I would see people that were so confident speaking, I thought, I wish that I was like that. I didn't know that that was a little seed that had been planted, a divine seed that had been planted within me that didn't go away. And so as I kept working on that and it came to fruition, then I realized, oh, that was the Lord leading me in that direction by giving me that desire. And so I think that is so interesting. I've seen that over and over again in different areas of my life.
Awesome. I'd like to interject for just a minute, and I'm going to bring the Bible into the conversation because you mentioned faith. I hope that's okay. So
absolutely.
Your story of seeing something you wanted and feeling led to get there reminds me of the story of David when he went to bring bread and lunch to his brothers. He overheard a conversation of what would be done to the man who defeated Goliath. And he asked three times to make sure he heard that correct. He goes, tell me again, what's going to happen to the man who defeats Goliath? And when he had that, he found out that reward, he chased it. And he stepped up and said, I'll take on Goliath. And a lot of people, their fear of whether it's public speaking, their fear of success, they can't overcome their challenges. And it may not be a pronounced fear that is tangible. It could be their emotional intelligence is hampered. It could be a business knowledge is they're feeling that the challenges, they may not be worthy, may not be qualified. They may not know enough about business, but I want to get into your topic of expertise, emotional intelligence. What does that mean?
So emotional intelligence entails being aware of ourselves and being aware of others, being able to manage our emotions. It is involved with our social relationships. And there's so many things about learning emotional intelligence that impact not only the way that we can regulate our nervous system, but, and that's the biggest thing, because so many times when we're in a situation, maybe something comes up within us and our emotions start to escalate. Well, that impacts how we interact with another person. Sometimes we can't even hear because our emotions are so escalated and we start to get focused on ourselves at those moments. Maybe we feel that tension, you know, within us. Or maybe the other person is feeling that. Maybe there's something that has come up within them. And then how are we reacting to that, or are we being proactive? Because I've been in situations where the other person has been triggered by something, and I'm thinking, wait, what's going on? What's happening here? And I'm an empath, so I'm feeling it within me. And that has been the thing that I have practiced the most in my life, is to allow them to have their feeling and not to take on that energy. And one of the times that I was using emotional intelligence a lot and using empathy a lot in business was my husband and I had purchased a bankrupt business, the second bankrupt business that we bought. And that was because that was all we could afford. And so we're trying to make, this business work, and we're just praying. And my husband said, all right, you're going to be in charge of marketing and sales. And I'm like, me? You want me to be in charge of marketing and sales? And he said, yep, go out there. I need you to go get the business. Well, we had moved to a new town. I didn't even know anybody in the town. And so I thought, I started thinking, well, what do these people want? What do our clients want? And they got together once a month, and they had, well, on a regular basis, they got together and they had these meetings, and they would talk about what they were going to do, who they were going to bring their business to, and all this kind of thing. So I thought, wonder if I could, help them out at their meeting. So I said, what do you guys eat at your meeting? And they said, oh, just coffee, donuts. And I said, how about if I bring you, breakfast? Because they did it in the morning. They said, sure. What are you going to bring? And so I said, I love to cook. So I said, you just don't worry. I'll take care of it. Well, I started doing this and they were just blown away that I would do this. And then I started asking, how else can I support you? What can I do for you? Because I wanted to help them be successful. And then I started finding out about their birthdays and what was their favorite treat for their birthday. And I would go and meet with them and celebrate their birthday with them. And they were just so surprised by this. And I was thinking, I was surprised that they were surprised. I was like, well, I just want to know what you're struggling with and how I can help you. I really was trying to have empathy for their situation. And as it turned out, they brought us so much business that the competition bought us out. And it was just absolutely miraculous. In fact, I was in a college class in a nearby town, and one of these clients was speaking about success and how to be successful. And he started telling the story about me. And I was just like, oh my goodness. And so my eyes lit up and he made eye contact with me and he goes, "And it was you." He couldn't remember my name, but he said, "You were the one." And he told the whole group, you know, that this is how you have success. And I was like, wow, I had no idea that that was going to make such an impact in his life and in his perception of success.
Wow. That's
a good story.
Yeah, that is an amazing story. That's that is absolutely amazing. So when you brought something different to the group to make a difference in their lives, other than just mundane coffee, donuts, coffee, donuts, coffee, donuts, "I'm going to cook you something. Don't worry. I'll take care of breakfast." And what does that do? And it doesn't have to be breakfast. It could be a small gift. Does that speak to someone's love language that may be gift giving or acts of service? How does that fit in with the emotional intelligence?
Yeah, it's really trying to put yourself in their shoes, you know, like what is it that they need? And sometimes you don't know what the need is. I didn't know what the need was. And so I was definitely praying for help, you know, to figure this out. And I do feel like when we ask that kind of a question, the Lord wants us to be his hands to bless other people. He wants us to look for how we can serve. I mean, that to me is why we're here on this earth. And so if I can find a way that I can lift and make another person's burden lighter, then to me, that's the greatest emotional intelligence. And that's the highest form of empathy where I can show love to another person.
So how does emotional intelligence, if I'm a starting star quarterback on a high school football team or college or on the biggest stage of the world, the Super Bowl, look at some of the quarterbacks and NFL players that we just watched play earlier this week. How does emotional intelligence help the athlete?
Well, so athletes are really keen on this because they know how important their self-talk is. They know how important it is to learn to manage their emotions here. They have probably anxiety, you know, before games and there's so much pressure, there's so much hype, you know, and there's so much on the line when they're going into this. And then they have the opposition, you know, they've studied who their opponent is. They understand what's going on. And then they're interacting with that opponent on the field. And so they have to know how to regulate their own emotions, which is huge going into it. They have to know how to regulate their thinking process when a thought comes in, maybe a fear comes in, or maybe some doubt, you know, comes in or something like that. They have to know how to talk back to their brain and to calm themselves down and to remember what the truth is about themselves. They know what gifts they've been given. They know what their ability is. And now it's their time to shine. And so when they go into whatever situation it is that is their moment to shine, of course there's going to be, you know, opponents that are going to be trying to tear them down. And so they have to be prepared. And then they have to know what to do in the moment. If they make a fumble, you know, or they throw the ball and or somebody tackles them, they have to be able to not let them that get them down and to be able to rise above that and to keep going. So it takes a lot of emotional intelligence for an athlete. I just admire them so much, all the mindset work that they do.
So what was your first experience with mindset work? You mentioned that word mindset work. And so I was curious, what brought you to that the development of that, and what's been your experience of that?
Well, thank you, Tom, for asking that question, because the mindset work in my life started very young. My mom used to read to me the story of the little engine that could. That was my bedtime story. And right. I loved that story. I don't know, are either of you familiar with that story?
Yes.
So I felt like the little blue engine that could. Here, you know, like I said, I was premature. I always felt like I was behind. I always felt like the little guy. And so here, the little guy, the little blue engine, you know, just keeps trying and keeps trying to figure out how to serve. And I think I can. You know, other people are like, no, I'm too busy. No, I'm too important. I'm not going to do that. But the little engine is like, I'll help. I can figure out a way to help. And so I remember when I would be afraid of things, my mom would say to me, just think of the little engine that could. And I remember I had to ride my bike to school by myself. I was scared. I didn't know if I was going to get there. She said, just keep thinking of the little engine that could. So I pedal. I think I can. Well, that became my mantra that I used in any scary situation that I went into. I would just think, I think I can. And to this day, that is my mantra that I use when I'm going to do something that is a little intimidating or a little scary. I just think of the little engine that could, and I think, how can I help others? Is there anything that I can do for others? So that was my first experience with mindset work.
Yeah, that's an amazing point. It seems like my screen's a little delayed, Tom, but I was going to ask that this really is it retraining your brain, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you face that moment of doubt, or you know, whatever, you know, it may be that seems to overwhelm a person, you have to, I guess, immediately engage yourself. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'm praying for help, but I have to take a step. You know, it's like when you throw the football, you know, to somebody, if I just stand there and I just leave my arms at my side, well, it's just going to bounce off of me, you know, but if I am ready to receive, you know, and I put my hands out, I have to take some step of my part to receive whatever divine help I'm going to be given. So absolutely, engaging myself is a very big part. And I have to even believe that the ball is going to come to me, you know, and that is a really important part of the whole process. And for me, I have had to work on overcoming and identifying limiting beliefs that I had about myself, and then work on, you know, overcoming those as well.
That's awesome.
It reminds me of so I guess two things. One, it reminds me of a quote: if you think you can, if you think you can't, you're right.
Absolutely. I quoted that to myself. I had that on my mirrors. I love that quote.
Yep. And then part of that, you said, it's almost as if you still have to expect that ball to be thrown to you. So part of that is almost like a visualization, mm-hmm. and seeing where, not just use the analogy of sports, but that's true in life. That's true in business. That's true in relationships. Right. And that's a big, big part of that. So another question I wanted to throw out there to you was, how does that mindset, how has that helped you achieve success?
Wow. That has been the biggest thing that I have worked on. Like I said, because I had so many fears, I would get focused on those fears, and I would focus on myself. And so, and because I'm an empath, I feel things very deeply. And so sometimes I misinterpreted things, you know. For example, my husband, he grew up they worked on a cattle ranch, and they swore a lot at the cattle. My family didn't swear at all. I didn't ever hear a swear word. And we were just very direct. I mean, just as far as we just talked about how we felt, kind of thing. And so the first time my husband swore at me, I was stunned. I thought he must hate me to swear at me, because that's what people do when they hate people. And what a huge misinterpretation that was on my part. And I had to learn. And when I went with him to the ranch and I saw how they swore at the cows all the time, I realized, oh, this doesn't mean anything. I was attaching the incorrect meaning to it. That affected me and how I felt about me. That affected how I felt about him. That affected our interactions. And so learning to identify what was really true, and even to look, you could look at things in two different ways. There's so many different ways to look at things. And that one of the things that I love from Marianne Williamson is she talks about when we're in a situation and we believe a thing about this situation or about this person, are we willing to look at it differently? And that is the thing that has made all the difference for me is, am I willing to look at this situation differently? And then I use my imagination. What could possibly be a different way to look at this? If I was somebody else, how would they possibly be looking at this situation? And when I use my imagination and my empathy in those ways, that strengthens my emotional intelligence because then I'm able to have such improved interactions. And then my brain is open and I'm able to receive insights and impressions and understanding that I didn't have before if I was just closed and I was only thinking about, you know, how that had affected me.
So you mentioned your mentor. For our audience who may not be aware of who your mentor was, would you mind giving just a 30-second spotlight on who your mentor was and how she impacted your life?
Well, so my greatest mentor is my dad. And and because my dad had to overcome so many hard things in his own life, and he's an overcomer. And I got that from him about, you know, I think I can. And my mother too, they were both overcomers. And but my dad and I thought very similarly, and he was so empathetic. He had incredible emotional intelligence before we even used that word. And I marveled at him. He became a psychologist. And so I still want to be like him. I just admire him so much. And as I watched him and how he interacted with people, he was always serving. How can I help this person who is struggling? That made a huge impact on my life.
So, yeah, you mentioned your dad really teaching you how to think empathy and how to show empathy. And it kind of takes me back a journey in my life as well. And I think one of the key things that has really helped. And so the emotional intelligence today thing is, it speaks loud to me, but I think it should speak loud to our current generation coming up. Mm-hmm. To think not first of yourself necessarily, but to see it from the other person's perspective.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's such a great point.
Yeah. So, go ahead, Tom.
If I could interject, and you mentioned your dad being one of the biggest influences and mentors in your life. So I have to throw a compliment to Tim Simmons, who is my father here with us, co-host. He has been such a big influence on my life, from business to spirituality, to servant leadership, to how to communicate, how to treat others. Parents can make such can be such a positive force for good, or they can go the other way and be a negative influence and be maybe not such that great example. But I love the comeback stories of folks who may have had such a great experience with their parents, because of their parents' lack of emotional intelligence and lack of empathy, how they're overcome that and make something be better for the next generation. Mm. But somehow I wanted to go back to, you mentioned, and I picked this up, and correct me if I'm wrong, when I think of the high performers in sports, in business, in life, a lot of those folks that come to mind might seem and might come across, especially on social media, as type A.
Right.
And they beat their chest, big ego, big personality, big dreams, big goals, big businesses, you know, big aspirations. But you are yourself a very high performance, goal-oriented person, but you don't come across as that type A personality. So could you give some tips and some guidance on how someone that may not be that dominant or that alpha or type A personality can be a high performer?
You know, that is such a great question, because so many times when you're not the type A personality, you don't think of yourself as a leader. And that has been the case with me. I have, my husband is very much a type A personality, and he is the leader. He walks into a room, everybody knows the leader is there. And he and I were talking about this one time, and he said, do you know what's so interesting about you is you walk into the room and everybody watches. And he said, and they, you don't think they're listening, but they watch your example. And he said, and your example of serving and loving impacts so many people. He said, I see it all the time when we're in a group. And for example, I remember we were in a group one time and people were doing the bashing thing. They were kind of like, you know, like sometimes when somebody has a retirement party, they kind of like bash and they say all the things about them and they roast them, you know? And so when it came to my turn, I couldn't think of anything to roast them for. So I just said what I thought was so amazing about this person. And then the next person said something amazing, and the next person, and then people said, wait, I want to go again. And they all went around again and said something positive about this person. And my husband said, do you remember that? He said, nothing changed in that group until you said something, and you were the one who showed that you cared about this person and changed the whole tone to a positive. And I was like, wow. I mean, I just was pretty amazed that I could be seen as a leader in that way. And then I started recognizing I am a leader. I just am a leader in a quieter way.
Look at Bill Gates, Steve Jobs. They do a lot of symposiums, a lot of speaking engagements, but their personality by nature is one of maybe a little quieter, maybe an extroverted introvert or introverted extrovert. And so it's a lot of folks that may not have that personality, they're doubting maybe who they are, and they shouldn't.
Right.
Different ways to lead than be the loudmouth in the front of the room.
Absolutely. And I think that's so interesting because we can lead just by following our God-given gifts and using those gifts. And like I was saying, following that inner voice that's within us, because we all came with something divine within us that will lead us in our life. And as we do those things, we will be a leader in our own way.
So we kind of went off into leadership a little bit there, right? And a well-known speaker, podcaster, I heard him say probably 25 years ago that leadership is really summed up in, it's just influence, it's influencing. And it's not always the loud voice, right? Sometimes it is this just a voice of like, oh, that's very good. It's the point. It catches the ear.
Yeah.
So kind of going back to the emotional piece, because I think it's such an important thing. And quite honestly, I haven't really thought about it in the sense of intelligence and giving reasoning to it and logic to it. But so it reminded me of something, Karen, that I think is important. It's something that I have been thinking quite a bit on recently, and that is a person's experience. And sometimes we go through an experience that may be difficult, mm-hmm. and it may last longer than a day, longer than a minute.
Yeah. You know?
But once you've kind of come through that, and if there are some things that really helped you to maybe conquer that, overcome that, maybe that fear that you talked about of, but it gives you something that you can think back on as maybe kind of a reinforcement, talking about the little engine that could, right? I did that. I conquered, I went up over the mountain. But how does that come into play with emotional intelligence? We call it testimony, but.
Yeah, well, and what the little engine said after she got to the top of the mountain and delivered, the goodies and everything, she said, I thought I could. And so one of the things that is so important about emotional intelligence is celebrating, and that so many people that are leaders and are in business, they just keep moving the goalpost. Oh yeah, I did that thing, but not until I get this next thing, then I'll celebrate that. Cause this one wasn't such a big deal, but I think that it is so important, just like you said, Tim, to celebrate those moments and to acknowledge and to be grateful for those moments. And so that is a huge part, because what that does is that also reinforces our confidence. It reinforces our confidence of being able to receive. It reinforces our confidence of being able to give. And it reinforces our confidence in being able to achieve the next milestone in our life.
And Tim, you mentioned podcasts, and we're on a podcast. I want to highlight your podcast, Karen, A Hero Within. Who is the Hero Within, and how'd you come up with that name?
So the Hero Within is based on the fact that we all have a hero within ourselves. So many times when we are confused and we're searching and we want an answer, we'll go to Google, you know, we'll go search over there, or we'll go ask, you know, maybe if I talk to this guru over here, you know, they could give me the answer. And I do that. I search on Google. I love to ask people questions, but the person that I really need to ask is the Lord. And as I ask him, he reveals things to me that are within me. And I have this inner wisdom that came from him that sometimes gets blocked because, like I was saying, about limiting beliefs or different experiences or fears that might come up. And when I am just quiet and I just commune with God, he reveals that inner wisdom to me. And people that, you know, might say the universe, they you know, look to source or whatever. Other people have different terms that they might use, but it's all the same thing. And it's this energy and this insight and this light that comes to our mind that inspires us and enlightens us. It might just be for the next step. It might not be the whole picture, but that hero within gives us the ability to overcome adversity, to deal with that adversity. Sometimes I've had adversity that has lasted most of my life. And yet I keep having that light that just comes for the next step. And that being able to overcome and to be able to endure and to be able to deal with those difficulties in our life is creating that hero in an even greater way in ourselves.
What are some of your biggest successes you've had in your life?
Well, my biggest success is working on my own weaknesses and with the Lord's help, you know, by the grace of God, he has helped me to learn and to grow. And also my marriage, you know, being, as I mentioned, being married, you know, nearly 39 years, we have four very strong children, and they all have very different personalities. They're all married, happily married, and I have five grandchildren. And so my family is my greatest success. And honestly, it really is. I say that and people use that term lightly, but it is only by the grace of God, because we have had so many miracles and so many miracles of emotional intelligence where we learned to understand, we learned how to interact, we learned how to build each other and how to rely on each other and how to rely on the Lord and to strengthen our faith as a family. And so that's been my greatest success.
Nice. Very good.
Awesome.
Appreciate that. Transparency, I guess. So, but just right. It's the ones that are closest to us. That's good. The ones those that are closest to us, that emotional intelligence, right? So it helps us to grow. It's, you know, through adversity we do grow. That's how we grow. Able to control and to be thoughtful and hit the pause button, maybe find a quiet space and think about it reflectively.
You mentioned you have a book coming out. When can we expect that book?
So that book will probably be published this summer. So yeah, it's close. So it's exciting.
You have to keep us updated on that.
One
of the closing questions is, if you could go to dinner or have dinner with anybody from the past or anybody from the present, who would that be? And why would you choose that person to go to dinner with?
So my dad has been deceased for over 20 years. And my dad played such a huge role in my life because he understood me. I felt very different from other people. And because I felt things so strongly, I also felt very different because other people they weren't affected by things like I was. I was very sensitive, and people told me, "You're too sensitive, you know, you're so sensitive." And they were so annoyed with that part of me. And I didn't realize, my dad said to me that I had a gift and that I had a gift of being in tune with other people, but he didn't use the word sensitive. So I knew he thought that about me, but I didn't know that that tied into being sensitive until many years later. And all of a sudden, it, because I felt shame about that quality of myself. And all of a sudden I realized my dad was trying to tell me it was a gift, that my sensitivity was a gift. He was very sensitive and he was an empath. So he understood that. And so when I realized that and I saw that myself differently, I was so grateful that my dad had given me that clue, you know, as a young girl. And I still talk to my dad and I listen because I still feel his influence in my life, but I wish I could go to dinner because now he has the greatest perspective ever. And I would just love to have him tell me more things about myself and recognize, you know, more ways that I could use my gifts because I think he has even greater insights. And so I miss him a lot, but I feel like he's right here with me, even though mortally he's not, you know, but I still feel his influence in my life and I'd love to hold him again.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Amazing.
Appreciate you sharing that. Well, we are, our time is up. No, I'm sorry. And on that note, thank you so much for sharing all your insights, your wisdom, your knowledge on emotional intelligence. If you're listening to this podcast, check out KarenHallCoaching.com. Check out A Hero Within podcast hosted by Karen Hall. Karen, thank you so much for your time. Wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors. And let's keep in touch. Keep in touch about the book coming out midsummer.
Such a pleasure.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tim. It was wonderful. I wish all your guests unlimited success.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed today's interview. Every week, we release two new episodes. Remember to follow Success Unlimited's podcast wherever you listen. Thanks again for listening in.